Throwback Show from the Bash.
Yay!
This is the show you've been waiting for. Now, we get special guests on regularly. Some fabulous names in tech. Tom Merritt, Andy Anatko, Jeff Gamet, Don McAllister. Some fabulous people. But tonight, for one night only, it really will be one night only, I think, about 5 minutes in, the host tonight will be Will Green!
Yay! Woo!
The host tonight will be Will Green!
Woo! Woo!
Does he know what day it is?
Is that it now?
Greeny?
Where?
Oh! Front and centre, boy. Front and centre.
Oh, do I have to?
Oh, all right, you're old.
Yeah, no, I've got my glass of wine, and a kind gentleman has given me a cigar.
Oh.
So, really, I just thought about, you know, I'll smoke my cigar and drink my wine and we'll have a chat.
Dude, take it away.
Which I thought was all good.
Is this the first time he's produced something in a few years, Will? He's going to post it on there, you know.
This hasn't got a wire on it, so is it working?
Yeah. Magic.
No, it's bizarre, isn't it?
Greeny, the light's on, mate. You're going.
That's it. We're off, are we?
Take the wine off him.
Is that it? Closer? 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 Said the doctor. Well, I thought what would be quite nice, instead of me introducing everybody introduce themselves. So.
Or each other.
Yeah. So, Don.
Hello, Will.
Yes. Hello. Yes, my name is Don McAllister.
I'm from impersonations really come on.
Greencast Online. Yeah, this is actually me. It's not Will doing an impression of me, but I'm sure you realise that now as it is. But yes, hello. I'll pass it over to Andrew.
Hello.
I'm Andrew.
Hi, I'm Andrew, Dr. Happy Mac. Yeah. But Andrew for today, I think. No corporate head on at the weekend. So, yep. To my right, we've got...
Hello, yes, I'm Charlotte. Nice to join you. And to meet Will Green in real life, not in a screen. So exciting.
We're all really chilled out, aren't we?
Yeah, this isn't real life at all. This is some kind of fantasy that we've constructed.
Oh, hello, I'm Carl from Musk. 40101 here from Twitter. And I'm joined next to Mr. Paul Wheatley here.
Hello, this is all very tea and crumpets with a vicar here, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
all very
We might better behave without you in actually.
And I'm joined to my right by Dr. Sexy himself.
I'd like to officially repute this title.
You may like to.
Sexy.
I will do, yeah. Hello, everyone.
Bye, Will.
Can I just point out our host has just walked away?
He's just walked off. He's given me his mic and he's walked. Oh, he's gone for a light. He's actually imbibing on a cigar. Oh,
we've also got Steve.
I'm right at the back of the audience here, so they can't see me. I'm hiding. My name's Steve Neighbour. I'm chairman of the London Mac News Group. We meet on every second Monday. And Will's now still
paging Will Green
a cigar.
Paging Will Green to the live podcast.
Will Green, come to the bar, please.
It's not late night jazz.
Hi, everybody.
Right. Okay, here we go. This is the Mac Show. A little more of a relaxed level than we normally achieve.
No.
Right. Number one, here's the news. Apple preparing to launch new iPhone incentive program. Has an army of new products in the works. I'm reading this, you know.
Really?
I can't
no.
Fluent.
You wouldn't know, would you?
No.
This is your show notes for the next Mac podcast you do, isn't it?
Yeah. Where did that voice come
He's
from?
Over there.
Oh, no, no.
He's just going to rebrand this one and put it back up again.
Right. Apple executives Tim Cook, Eddie Q, and Craig...
Federici.
Thank you very much. Federici spoke to Apple retail store leaders about upcoming changes to Apple iPhone marketing tactics. This is a boring story. Ewan, why have you got this
we
story?
We want to sell more phones, is what they're saying.
Yeah, like. Go on. So, along with the new iPhone discount and sales thrusters, Apple also plans heavily to market iOS 7 when it is released in the fall, autumn, for us. outside of the colonies, and introduce new retail locations in Europe. This is a non-story, but does anybody want to apply to...
The point of the story, Will, is that 30% of Macs or iPhones are sold in store at Apple stores, yet 50% of them are maintained by Apple stores. And what they want to do is stop selling via third-party suppliers. Introduce people to Macs in the store.
It's kind of a boring story, isn't it? Let's be honest.
You've got to stop selling them out of your boot of your car, Will. That's what we're saying.
Okay. Shall we move on then?
Yes.
This is going to take long, is it?
low-cost iPhone in multiple colours.
Yay!
Right, okay.
That story comes out every couple of months.
It does, doesn't it?
There have been
the whole time.
There have been some cases.
I've never seen a low-cost iPhone.
There's been some cases show bodies on the internet that look fairly robust-looking. There's multiple colours that they found, so... I think it's going to happen at some point. Whether it's this year, I mean, who knows? But it could all be fake as well, couldn't they? It's impossible to know.
Apparently, we've got.
What do I need to do?
There's pictures.
Oh, there's pictures.
At the back of that comprehensive guide, you get there's photos and pictures.
Glossy
on the back
pictures.
Of these. There's some.
They kind of look like the iPhone equivalent of that. You remember the like candy-coloured iMacs that were around like whatever 10 years ago or something.
You weren't even born then, were you?
I had them at school, thank you, Will.
But they do look like the iPod Nanos, the current iPod Nanos, just kind of made in an iPhone. Why is this why do people not believe this is going to happen? There seems to be a little bit of
because Apple have done it negativity. Every time with every product they've ever produced. They've eventually got round to colours because it's the only thing they've got left to iterate.
No, sorry. What I mean is why are people kind of thinking that that's not going to happen? Because I think it is. I think it's inevitable.
I think people think it's going to happen, don't they? Mm. Will, do they help me here?
But the thing is, people will buy them.
Yeah.
So they'll make them.
I'm just wondering how they differentiate it from the existing ones. I mean, you've certainly in the UK anyway, you've already got phones that you can get for free on a contract. So what would this offer?
It would be an Apple one.
No, you can get...
Oh, like 3GS and
you
stuff.
You get like a 4 and a 3GS and stuff. Yeah. Free, can't you?
But I think it's the Android market, the number of Android phones that are sold, which is obviously greater. And I think that Apple, they haven't comprehensively won the war, iOS versus Android. And I don't think, perhaps they realise they're never going to win it with just the small number of iPhones that they have. They're going to need more product, more differentiated product out there for people to make choices about and buy. And I think that it's their way of choicing up the iOS market to just try and get more market share back off Android.
What, just different colours?
Yeah, people are stupid. They'll buy any of them.
No, it'll be a lower processor. It'll be a little less powerful insides and things like that. But does that mean that they're going to have to cut down iOS then, so you're going to end up branching iOS?
No.
That's the bit that makes me not sure it will happen. Because the thing they've always said about iOS... is whatever device, whatever shape, size, you know all the apps are going to work on it. And it's one of the things that gives it its biggest advantage is that, you know, if you're a developer, it's easy to develop for iOS because you just build it.
Yep.
And you don't have to do it in all different flavours. So actually, if they start fiddling around with that, I think they'd be very nervous to do that and start cutting down what devices can process certain things. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they can still, they can still make the profit because the low cost iPhone will have lower cost materials, so you know the bill of materials cost will be less, so they can make more profit and sell it cheaper. But an interesting thing with this new range is that all the primary colours that the leaked photos show actually match in with iOS 7. You know, the primary colours that iOS 7 are using, so it could as well also be an attempt to hit the youth market. You know, sort of it's. A lot of kids really like the look and feel of the new iOS, and there'll probably be a cheap phone that will go with it that will actually match. You know.
I think Don's spot on there. The colours match iOS 7. Hi, Will, I'm over here. And there's
I get a bit confused by this, if I'm truthful, because there's speakers over here, so I can hear your voices, but then I have to look around to.
Watching Will at the moment is imagining him like Wimbledon. Because he's going left, right, working out where the person with the microphone is because he can't work out where we are in the crowd. But these phones are going to be cheaper than the existing iPhone. So what will happen is rather than a £35 package per month or £25, £30, this will come out on a £15 per month package in the UK. And it'll appear, it will kind of be brought in by people who want that cheaper option per month, because it will be a cheaper phone.
Or do you think there may be the option to buy like a very cheap model, say between £200 to £300, maybe SIM free as well?
I mean, you're talking rubbish, all of you.
What's your opinion then, Will?
Well, my opinion, right?
Which is correct, obviously.
Well, obviously, it's the right opinion. So you can go. So you go to O2 or something like that, and you look at the various phone deals, and some you have to pay £150 for the phone. And others you have to pay nothing, but the actual monthly tariff is the same. So I think it's reducing the upfront cost. But I don't think the monthly tariff, which is where the providers make their money, will change at all.
No, but the monthly tariff only pays for the full cost of the phone. So if you make the full cost of the phone £400, the monthly tariff will go down something like £20, £17 per month as opposed to the full price iPhone. So it will hit that middle market that doesn't exist at the moment, where people can get a new iPhone. It'll be branded as new iPhone for £17 a month or something like that. So it hits that middle area.
I just don't get how they're going to do that, though. I think it'll happen. I just don't understand how they're going to do that, in that they're going to reduce the capabilities inside the phone, which means that the OS is going to get sluggish if they don't branch the OS, which they're not going to do. So I just don't... That whole thing doesn't
match
up for
me. Well, how sluggish does it get? I mean, the iPhone 4, which is still available, that's basically the free phone, that will run iOS 7 mm-hmm. at a reasonable lick. I suspect that whatever's in the iPhone Mini will be more, a better spec than
well,
the iPhone 4.
Well, does an iPhone 4 run iOS at a reasonable spec? Because my 4S, albeit it's a beta, I accept, but my 4S does not run at a reasonable rate at all.
No?
No. Okay, that's killed that.
Well, I think I can't imagine that the iPhone Mini won't be a more powerful spec than any of the iPhone 4s. So I think it'll probably run it at what Apple regard as a minimum speed that people are prepared to put up with, albeit not as fast as the Lightning.
The other issue with this is the branding issue, which is, do Apple actually want to be selling cheap stuff? Do they want to be a company that sells cheap stuff? Their whole thing over Android is, you can have a cheapy Android phone, or you can have the real thing, which is an iPhone. Do they actually want to concede defeat? They made a mini iPhone, iPad, which is mini in size, but it's not less powerful, and it's still a lot more expensive, I think, than a lot of the Android tablets. Yep. And I don't know if Apple really want to actually start degrading that brand by not being a premium brand and start having cheapy phones.
Well, I think it depends how you define cheap, doesn't it? Is it cheap? Is it just cheaper?
I don't think it would be cheap in build quality, would it? That's not the way Apple make things.
But then that goes back to, how are they going to make profit if it's not cheap in build quality?
Yeah.
Where are they squeezing this to make it a low-cost iPhone?
I wonder if they might, never done this before, but I wonder if they might be targeting sort of emerging markets like, say, China and India and things like that, and just going to flood those with low-cost devices. And everybody that, especially young people that take on an iPhone, they become locked in, don't they? And they're then iTunes consumers like for the rest of their lives, with 30% to go on everything they ever buy. So I don't suppose they would regionalise it in any hard and fast way, but I wonder if that's their main target.
I've got to call BS on this. You sell 35 million units a quarter of a phone at premium rate. You're relying on the suppliers giving it away at 2 years. I've had the 4S now for 2 years, and I don't need another phone. I will get the next one, but I don't need it. This is just makes no sense whatsoever.
No, but don't forget, they'll be going to bring in... I mean, when this gets launched, it'll be launched with the new iPhone 5, whatever the next number is, 5S. So that will have an incremental jump in spec and jump in build quality. The camera's probably going to be improved. There'll be lots of improvements in the hardware. But the cheaper iPhone, we probably should stop calling it the cheaper iPhone, the less expensive iPhone, it will probably have the same capabilities and the same speed as the current iPhone 5, but it will be cheaper. I mean, the families who would love to buy the kids' iPhones, you just can't afford it because it's a really expensive proposition, if you've got two or three kids that you want to buy an iPhone for. But if it came in, Steve said, a really low price, either to buy it outright and just sort out your own SIM deal, or, a really low tariff, people are going to, bite the hand off to do that.
Amen. Who agrees with Don?
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, come on. I think Don's spot on there.
What about a 5-inch screen that's a bit bigger?
Where the hell did that voice come from?
Behind you.
Did anyone else hear that? It was in my head.
No, I'm thinking, what about a bigger screen for people with older eyes? Because personally, the iPhone for me, I can't see anything on it. I can't see the screen or anything, and that's why I dumped it to get a big Note. I mean, if they did a bigger iPhone, they did a bigger iPhone, I might consider going back to iPhone again.
They've gone cheaper and lower spec on the iPod Touch. They brought out one very, very recently without a camera on the back. It's only got 16 gig. So I think Apple are prepared to go a lower budget on their phones and sacrifice some of the features. I don't think they're going to sacrifice quality as such. Mm. They just will take out some of the features in the more premium version, because as I say, they've just shown that they are prepared to do that. To capture a market that they normally would not be in, like a lower youth market. But saying that, though, £180, £190 is still a very expensive sort of MP3 player for the market that it's attached to. So it still has that premium quality about it, premium sort of branding about it. But it is a cheaper alternative for people that just don't want to go up to that like £50 more. Version of. So I think bringing in a new iPhone at a lower cost with not, I'm not saying cheaper build quality, because you can get some plastics that are very, very well made. And also, if you have a plastic phone, it'd probably be more durable for the youth teen market, who could sort of throw it about a bit, because the back of the phones now are like glass, and they just shatter. Whereas a plastic one will probably scratch, but it won't sort of break quite so easily.
And just to reinforce this, parents, and if you want to be a parent or trying to be a parent, put your hand up. Would you buy your kids an iPhone? Obviously, Don, you don't hold it. Would you buy your iPhone? Would you buy an iPhone 5, 4, 4S for your kids? Or would you rather buy the plastic version that's a little bit more resilient?
I think I'd be happier with it.
I think I'd be happier with that. Yeah.
The thing is, with the bigger screen, I don't think Apple are going to go with a bigger screen. It's just not in their DNA to do that. And in iOS 7, there are a couple of features that actually get around the problems of visibility, etc. I know they use really thin fonts, etc. But there's some new technology in there for resizing the text, so you can actually bump the text size up quite large in iOS 7, and that's part of the software. So I don't think we'll see a bigger iPhone anytime soon.
Just on iOS 7, I'm just going to pass this round. This is Batwinch's phone, and I'm sure you've all seen this, but I'm just going to pass this round, which is this is John Gruber. I'm going to credit him for this, but this is the poster from the 1972 German Olympics. And all of the colours from this poster are basically iOS 7. You've seen this. It's so interesting when you see the poster. It's like, blimey, that's exactly where they got their colour scheme from, virtually. And the typography as well.
I'm just interested what people think. What will they do with the iPhone family? Will they keep the same number of phones going, or do you think they'll expand the range even further? Because usually now you get the current model and then two generations before at different price tiers. Do you think they'll keep that and have a lower, budget coloured iPhone, or do you think they'll drop the lower tier?
Well, this is what I don't get about the whole story, because Apple has always operated, it doesn't do that many products at the same time, just does them really well. So actually, if you're introducing basically a new product, that's why I'm not sure that this will actually happen. We've heard about it a lot, but I'm not actually convinced it will happen, because I don't see Apple introducing something new, completely new, into a market where they've already got three or four products.
I think they're going to ditch the 4S and the 4 and standardise the screen size, because that makes it easier for everybody. And just as I say, so it will have the same screen, but the back of it will be different. The back of it will be a lower quality. So they've still got. So then they are technically standardising things, because I mean, taking it back to the point of the. iPod Touch, yeah, thank you. So the iPod Touch, that has the same screen, but again, it's missing some features that the higher up version would have. So again, it's all standardizing the thing, because they want to get into that, they want everything into that larger screen, and bringing it out on the 5 was just making it, was just bringing it forward for developers and things
like
that.
Listen. If we're going to pull some birds tonight, right, I think we should rein this in a bit.
Listen, right?
I'm not being funny. It's a little bit boring.
There's
isn't
six
it?
Colours.
Is it me or is it?
There's six colours because they want Don to buy six different phones. That's what it is. One for each day of the week plus an extra one.
Yeah. Okay,
well, have a flip through on your notes, Will. And is there a single item in there that is going to go down well in
take control, Will.
The ladies? Yeah. I'm going to take control. Control. I had to jump in at that point. Yeah. You know, back in the day, in the 40s, right?
Wow.
No, we don't.
In the films, when the young lady would blow smoke into...
What?
Yeah.
Where are we going here?
Into the gentleman's face, right? And it'd be really, you know, really excited and sexy and all that. Don, will it work with you if I blow some smoke in your face?
Are you flirting with Mr. Don McAllister?
Yeah, I'm trying to seduce
right
him.
Right in front of his wife as well.
His wife. Only for you.
Mr. McAllister, what would you like to say?
He's on eBay next week, so...
Okay, next in the news... if you can call it that. Snuglet Kickstarter project aims to secure the loose MagSafe 2 cables. Ewan, where did you get these ones from? I mean, Christ.
This is a company that's got a Kickstarter project for something that's vastly overpriced. I think it's something like $50. And it's basically a ring of metal that you put on the end of your charger.
Wow, that's not a place to
steady, steady.
And... and it increases the magnetism somehow. Voodoo.
Why?
Yeah.
So,
can I just ask a question? Has anyone got the new MacBook Air that's the smaller connector?
It's the Retina Mac. MacBook Pro's got the kind of the thinner connector. Is that the one you mean?
Oh, I was talking about the
yeah, this
the
is definitely
one.
Not working
in MagSafe 2.
The adapter that you use to connect the old MagSafe thing to the new one.
Yeah.
Has anyone kept hold of it for longer than 2 months?
Yeah, yeah, I got one.
You bugger. I've lost mine. I bought two and I keep on losing the little tiny, tiny thing, the adapter things.
That's not going to work. Hey! There's an offer.
I can't not say what I was going to say without swearing. Why wait till after the show, baby?
So, skipping that story, on to story number 5, which is good. iCloud Beta now available to paid and free devs by invitation. After introducing iWork for iCloud, you see I'm going into my Radio 4 voice now, it's good enough. During its worldwide, it's not very Radio 4, it's very, what's the word I'm looking for?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, local radio. I've gone into my Southwest local radio voice.
Radio Cider.
Radio Cider. after introducing iWork for iCloud, I've begun again. During its Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple began sending beta invites for the service to register developers on June the 13th. It's going okay so far, isn't it?
Yeah.
Since then, Apple has continued to send out beta invites on a rolling basis to both paid and free developer accounts. It appears the company has sent out... I'm quite pleased with the way this is going, actually. I'm getting into a roll here. Yeah, thank you very much. Has sent out a large batch of invites today. Which
full stop.
Yeah, no.
New paragraph.
Comma. No, it's not. No, it's a comma. I was just trying to think about when today was, whether that's today or yesterday. Difficult, isn't it? No, I'm still on it.
Sunday, yes.
But think when you're reading paper stuff.
Sunday.
Sunday?
Yes. No, someday. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Inviting a number of new people to participate in the beta. iWork for iCloud offers in-browser version. I don't know whether they don't give it up. Load of rubbish.
No, you're doing well.
No, I know, but I mean... I was impressed by the...
Paraphrasing, anyway.
I thought we needed a break at this point. I was impressed at the keynote. It does look like pretty far-thinking and advanced technology in the way that they were using it. I haven't seen anything quite like it, which is good. But is it consumer only, I wonder? You know, I do a lot with Google, and I've heard nobody in the enterprise business space talk about Apple and the iWork Cloud style functionality as a sort of deliverable product.
It's one person only at a time. Unlike Google Doc, where we can like all here type on the doc at the same time and it all appears in different strings and paragraphs and whatever.
Yeah.
iCloud is still one person, one document, one time, that's it.
Yeah, but they're doing a lot more in terms of making rich documents. So you can make your keynote presentations. Keynote is far superior to PowerPoint. So if you're in an organization that's completely locked down to XP, you have to use PowerPoint to make presentations, which really restricts you in some of the things you can do. But this allows you on an IE browser, on an XP machine, to actually make some really nice presentations.
But if you take presentations as an example... I do a lot of presentations, and the key thing with a presentation is you never read the slides that you're showing. You just, you know, the slides are just like key points. And so you don't need fancy graphics, or you don't need fancy transitions or animations to particular objects. What's the bloody point? It's good in some ways, but as far as enterprise business is concerned, I don't think it's a winner. What they want to do is deliver a sort of a solution that's scalable, that's reliable, that everybody can share, that people can collaborate on at the same time. And Apple aren't doing that at the moment. So why bother going forward with the iWork? Why don't they just...
You're just looking in the business market, though? If you're looking at this more in a personal market, then it's actually got lots and lots of...
Yeah, I think you underestimate the power of iWork. I mean, I use... Keynote to make graphical movie transitions, and then before I was using screen capture software to make them into movies, and I make them against a green background so I can green screen them out and key them. Now in iWork you've got an export to movie feature, and it comes out as an MOV, crystal quality. As long as you time it properly, it comes out beautifully, and if you get the greenest of greens, it keys incredibly. There's no ghost or anything like that on it when you shove it into Final Cut. It's a really powerful piece of software now.
You can make it clickable in QuickTime as well, so you can actually export it and still click through it. And I use Keynote a lot for making clickable prototypes when I'm making app prototypes, and you just can't do that kind of thing in PowerPoint for it to do the kind of transitions for it to make app prototypes work.
Yeah, I think it's a different mindset between Google and Apple in that, as you said before, you know, Google are very much into collaboration and shared documents, whereas Apple are very much into the presentation and the quality of the document you can actually create. And they're very much, you know, looking at the individual person rather than as a sort of team player. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still a little bit disappointed that they haven't, although they have said they're going to do some further work. You know, they haven't beefed up the iWork packages on the Mac itself. They spend a lot of time, you know, bringing them up to spec on the iOS devices, which is good, and they spent a lot of work on the iCloud side bringing them together. But I still think there are some features I'd still like to see, you know, in iWork on the Mac itself. But saying that, they did say at the keynote, you know, that they are working on it, and we've seen adverts for people for the keynote.
I mean, when
the
iWork
team, etc.
When I first had one-to-ones, I went over because I wanted to learn the software. So I bought a new Mac, I got the one-to-ones, and I had Will and I had Kate doing the presentations. And the ethos of both of them was to reinforce that Apple want to give you five ways to do the same thing. They want to give you flexibility, options for creativity, ways of doing things in different ways that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And they do that. They achieve that massively. Preview is a stunning piece of software. It is the most underrated piece of software free on your Mac. Mm-hmm. It is so powerful to import files, change files, edit files. Not just a PDF reader.
And compared to Adobe Flash as well, it's a joy because... Adobe's just... Actually, let's not get you inside on Adobe because...
I think Apple would really...
We're still recording that podcast.
I think Apple would really have to change the people that they have running their cloud-based services if they want to do like collaborative work on their system, because for whatever reason, they've never managed to get their cloud-based services right. They're always clunky. They keep crashing on you. They don't work. They don't sync properly. Google stuff just seems to work all the time whenever I've used it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going on with the team who deal with that.
iCloud is, in its current form right now, pretty horrible and clunky. I mean, I think the thing that bugs me is I do upload a lot of text documents, and actually that you can't update a text document in the cloud. You have to send it up, and then if you want to edit the document, download it and save it all again, it's just whereas with Google, like you say, you can type in straight into there as a pretty powerful text editor in itself.
Yeah, and with Google Docs, I think, which we do with the podcast, you can have the document open, you know, in Google Drive, and you can have four or five people signed in and working simultaneously on the document. And I think that
whilst like instant messaging and live chatting
exactly,
in the
and
in
I think
the corner.
That for some reason I'm sure it's historical that Apple's corporate mindset is not about sharing and the openness and the multiple contributions.
Even if they don't want you, me, and Don to be able to work on a document together, surely it must be that I can work on my document in the cloud. In 2013, they must be able to do it. Write a text document in the cloud. Apple must be able to do that, and they still.
But they're also Apple are slightly hamstrung as well because Google have developed the stuff that Google have back at base HomeCamp to run Google Drive and their cloud services is stuff that Google themselves have developed from the initial code up to do exactly what they want to do it. And it's the same with Facebook. Facebook is a sharing experience and things, and Facebook have pretty much developed all of their own systems themselves in house. But particularly Google. I mean, Google, of everything that Google own is Google's. They make their own servers, they build their own servers, they write their own OS, they write their own algorithms, they write everything themselves. Apple don't do that. Apple buy stuff in off the shelf. Apple buy stuff from Microsoft to run iCloud on. And then they're beholden to what Microsoft's engineers can make the stuff do. And I think that that's a fundamental thing, is that Apple are buying cloud services and cloud infrastructure in, and Google are building the cloud the way they want it.
Plus, you can use all the Google stuff on Macs and iPhones and iPads and everything. It all works.
But the important difference here to make, though, the distinction to make, is that Apple only do what makes them the most money.
Yeah,
so ultimately, they don't care if you want to do collaborative.
Yeah, they're not
editing.
Charging
go
for
to Google to do that.
They're charging for charging for MobileMe. They're not charging for cloud, are they? I mean, cloud is just designed to keep them in the game.
Well, they did, but then they realised they couldn't anymore because people would bitch and whine too much.
But that's the point. Is that Google are providing all of their cloud services for free because they make their revenue from somewhere else. Apple also make their revenue from somewhere else, but it's not as necessary for their revenue stream that you buy into iCloud, whereas for Google's revenue stream, it's necessary that you buy into Google's services because they want you on their servers.
Yeah, and for Google, they make money by knowing what you're doing.
Exactly.
So they don't care what you do as long as you stay on Google.
But Apple don't care what you do on iCloud because they don't make any money from it, but they do need skin in the game, and iCloud gives them just the tiniest bit of skin that they can possibly put in and say, we're here. I don't think it's a creditable product. But it's what they've got, and I feel they're probably minimally invested in it.
I think iCloud gets a bad rap in its current form. MobileMe was terrible.
Rubbish.
No, honestly, it really isn't. It really isn't. When you consider the amount of transactions that they're doing on a daily basis, and the fact that the majority of people, sync my contacts sync perfectly, documents that I interchange between iWork on iOS and the Mac works fine. So, and the thing I always bring people back to is, the number of downloads they're doing with iTunes, the number of downloads they're doing with the app stores. I used to work in corporate IT, and we used to really struggle just, maintaining a small corporate environment where we had to keep everything in sync. They're doing it globally with millions, billions and billions of downloads. It's no mean feat to actually accomplish what they do. And we can all say that MobileMe was rubbish, and we can all agree on that. But I think that they are really coming on leaps and bounds with iCloud. Where they've let themselves down, and that they're the first to admit this, is the support for the iCloud document sync for third-party developers. I mean, that just wasn't fully baked when they released it. And I probably think the iCloud service itself was probably released too early. It might have been that Steve wanted to get it out there, as soon as possible, because we all know what happened. But I think it was probably released a year or two earlier than it should have been. And they've suffered for that, with the lack of respect that the developers have for iCloud. But this year, again, I don't know if it's NDA or not, but they're not bringing out any further iCloud changes. They're not actually making any new functions in iCloud. They're going to concentrate on getting it stable and supporting the third-party developers to start doing things with iCloud.
Why would you use iCloud when you can use Google Docs or Dropbox? Why would you now move your whole workflow to that?
Yeah, it's a different... I wouldn't recommend to anyone that if they're using Google Docs that they move across to iWork. They're not... the chalk and cheese, really. They do different things.
The only.
If you're if you're a small business or if you're just a sole individual or designer or just working on your own stuff, iCloud's perfectly fine. If you want to start to collaborate with teams, it's not the preferred solution. You need to go into Google Docs to do that. But it's just a different mindset. It's just a different way that they're approaching the cloud-based solution.
The advantage that Google Docs has, because I was playing with Pages on the beta at the end of this week, is the amount of facilities and tools you can use. It is dire. You can basically type in, put in a picture, and that's about it. And when I tried to send it to myself as a PDF, the email came through. No attachment. Problem.
Since Will's hosting, I'm going to try and do Will's bit. I got locked in my hotel this morning. I got locked in the toilet of my hotel room. There's a tangent for you. Well, because I was doing things in private.
Yeah, but at least you had your phone on you, unlike someone
didn't
last
I had
year.
To get locked in
I
their
had
hotel
to ring
last year.
Kevin, who last year we came up here for the bash, got locked into his bathroom, and I had to ring him up and say, "Kevin, can you come and rescue me, please? I'm locked in the bathroom."
Was it the same room?
No, it was a different room. Thank God.
I could see a court case coming on here.
How did he get into your room? If you were locked in the bathroom,
I shut
the
door and the lock fell onto the floor.
No, I'm not. How did Kevin get into your room?
I said, can you go to reception, please, and ask them to come and rescue me?
This is sounding all very dodgy, isn't it?
It is. This is how your stories sound.
Isn't that exactly the same as what happened to you? The lock fell onto the floor, supposedly.
Exactly, yes.
Is this the lock fell onto the floor club? Are you two in some like specialist sex club that's like, oh, the lock fell onto the floor? And this is some like backdoor kind of secret messages
Steve,
that you're sending
Steve,
to each other.
Steve, just because we wouldn't let you join.
That's exactly my problem.
Possibly, yes.
Right.
How painful is development on Mavericks and iOS 7?
What?
Speaking about backdoor stuff.
Wow.
How painful is development on iOS 7 and Mavericks? Is it getting less painful or is it still painful?
They're not allowed to tell us.
What?
They're not allowed to tell
us. Okay. No, but there might be somebody here who can talk without giving us a name.
What do you mean by painful?
Clive?
Anyway, let's move on with the news. pain about development. Right. Number 6. Apple close to Time Warner cable app deal for Apple TV. According to a report from Bloomberg, Apple and Time Warner Cable are close to completing a deal that will bring TWC app to the Apple TV. A potential partnership between the two companies would... You know what? It's Ewan. Where's Ewan?
He's down there.
He's on his back.
Relax
again.
Right.
Wait there. He's getting a massage at the moment.
He's having a nap.
Where's that red mic gone? Oh, the green one.
There's a green one. Take that one.
Sorry. That nearly got lost forever.
Right,
there.
The skill in this, Greeny, is you wait till no one says anything, then you slag Apple off, and then Don goes through the roof, and that's it, you're off and running.
Well, I thought, you've given me, not control, but whatever, of this podcast, right?
Do we
and
like?
You know, for years, I've been trying to get you to have a break in it, where we can all deep breathe, have a few moments of silence, and I feel at this point we should do it.
That's going to be great listening, isn't it?
No, it's good, it's good. So, everybody, breathe in.
Do an advert. Thank you, thank
breathe
Ted
out.
Smith.
Breathe in. Breathe out.
Can we do Lamar's breathing instead? Kirsty, would you take us to the class?
My house.
Anyway, there it is. Right, a potential partnership between the two companies was
podcasting
first
gold.
Yeah, was first.
You know, when I was on my way down today, there was this amazing pie shop about halfway down the M6. It made the most amazing steak and ale pies. Do you know that? You know where I'm? It's just Tea Bay, I think it's called.
Ooh.
No, no, it's just it's
that's the open. Are you distracting Will with another Willism?
That's the one off. That's the organic one.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. It's really nice. It's like a farm thing.
Yeah.
Oh no, it was lovely.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, really nice. We're gonna have to find a way to get across that side of the motorway.
No, there's one on northbound as
well.
Oh,
is there?
Yeah.
Superb. Yeah. Grand. Stop on the way home.
I would say that one actually.
Yeah,
that one is pretty damn good.
Yeah,
it is actually award winning for being the best independent service station.
I feel you're taking a pee out of me, mate.
I was walking my dog the other day.
45 minutes and the pennies dropped.
Yes.
No, I'm serious. I think a gap in any podcast, for lots of podcasters here.
What, like 6 months?
No.
Saucer Charlotte, and milk for Charlotte, one.
Charlotte. Oh. She shoots, she scores.
No blow. Harsh, isn't it? It's harsh. Right, I'm going to continue now.
I
do, but I'm not wearing it today.
You've taken it off, haven't you?
Yeah. But
you
it's no.
You change with Google every so often.
Yeah, no, it's
just change your whole view. Oh, take it off.
No, it's not a deliberate thing.
Where's your watch then?
It's at home.
It's because he's realised he's been late.
Why are you only wearing it?
Buying a Honda Prelude next.
Right, shall I get this beautiful podcast back on the rails? And ignore these people who keep trying to take it off the rails, because I am the man who can keep things on track. Right. A potential partnership between the two... I've no idea what I'm talking about now. Yeah, I know.
It's not the Warner Brother thing.
Should we skip that one?
Yeah, it's not going to be in the UK anyway.
Yeah, so that's right. Sure.
And you've got to have a Warner Brother contract. Americans enjoy it.
So, we'll skip it. Good.
What's the next story?
I went skipping once.
The next story. The next story is number 7. Now, number 7, as you know, is a lucky number.
What's your favourite type of skipping rope?
Well, it is. Him. Apple goes trademark wild across the world for iWatch. Oh, I saw this in the BBC. In addition to filing for a trademark on the term iWatch in Russia and Japan on June the 3rd, we have discovered that Apple has filed for a trademark in Taiwan. Mrs. Don, are you enjoying this? Yeah, it is.
For God's sake, Will, the story's about iWatch, not bloody trademarks.
Well, I'm only reading the story in the order it comes. I just saw Mrs. Don's face go blank and her eyes start right to...
Only Mrs. Don's face, Will.
on iWatch, I disagree... With
Hang on,
Ewan
I haven't
Rankin.
Finished the story yet.
Ooh. Oh, go on.
Hold on a minute.
I finished the story once.
In both iWatch trademark filings discovered today, which we don't know what day that is, but it, you know, Apple Inc. is listed as the. It is pretty dull, isn't it, Mrs. Mrs. Don? I agree with you.
They're registering the
I
trademark.
I disagree
all
with
over
Mr.
The
Ewan
world.
Rankin.
Ooh.
They're registering the iWatch trademark all over the world, but I can't see them making an iWatch, and they're not going to. They've got to drop the I. So crass.
It's the version of Prism.
If we had entrance music at the moment, it would be kicking some, because Ewan believes that the iWatch will not sell because people don't want watches. Is that correct, Ewan?
That is correct. Middle-aged white men.
Okay, let's do a survey. There's probably 400 people here, so raise your hand. If you believe the iWatch will sell in great capacity.
Middle-aged white men akimbo.
So 95% of people have held their hand up. No women. But
that watch is an honorary middle-aged white woman.
Oh, sorry, Bowen, sorry. How do
they call it an iWatch when they can't call an iWatch in the UK, Russia, and somewhere else? They can't call it iWatch. I think in the UK, someone's got the trademark already. It's Europe-wide. There's a couple of other territories as well. So basically, iWatch is gone.
Okay, so that's fine. But before the iPad came out, we didn't know what the iPad was going to be called, and we thought it would be iTablet. We thought it would be something else as well. And then they came out about... They'll work around the name, but whatever it comes out as, I think it'll be a huge seller. Because... And Ewan's point was, look at everyone around the room. This was in the Elmwood Pub the other night. Look at everyone around the room and not wearing watches. But I feel people don't wear watches because it doesn't. You have the time on your phone,
no.
Yep.
But
and that's all you
wear
need.
Watches
from,
and I
which
might
is my entire point.
Be, yeah, that's
you have a watch.
Token
no,
female
watch.
On this.
I'm
people wear watches as a piece of jewellery, yep. And fashion accessories. And as good as Johnny Ive is, he's not a jeweller.
Nope.
Yves Saint Laurent.
I do reckon it will be called the iWatch. Remember what the iPhone thing. iPhone was owned by Cisco. The name was owned by Cisco. Still called the iPhone. They just went in and took on Cisco. They don't care. They will call it iWatch. It will be called iWatch.
But we're assuming it
exists. Pretty sure of that.
The thing is, though, I mean, we're calling it iWatch, but it's not going to be just a watch.
It's a piece of wearable computing.
Yeah.
And we all didn't know what we were going to do with the iPad when that came. You know, before that came out, people were saying, Will has left the building, but we'll carry on.
Will's wandered off.
It's all right. Barbara's got the script, so she can take over. But
do it.
You know, we didn't really know what we would. We you know, yeah. And even when the iPad was introduced, we sort of said, well, it looks interesting, but does it fit in with what I'm going to do? Does it fit in with my workflow? Does it fit in with my lifestyle? And, you know, here we are 3 or 4 years later, and yes, it most certainly does. And, you know, people have found ways to use the iPad that never thought they even would. So, you know, you've got to sort of get away from thinking of this wearable device as just a watch. Yes, it will. You will be able to tell the time on it, but it's going to do much more than that, and it will sort of extend your phone. It might be a standalone device, but more than likely it's going to be standalone and you know, a device that will extend the functionality of your iPhone or iPod Touch. So it's, you know, don't think of it as just a watch. It's going to be a different class of device.
What do you reckon they'll charge for it?
Oh,
this mystical thing.
I mean,
£499.
Well, you know, it's going to be fairly small, so they can probably make it very, very cheaply. And, you know, who knows?
Look, unless they've suddenly come up with a way to make the battery last a month at once, nobody's going to buy it.
Well, did you see the patent that they discovered yesterday, which is some cellular battery technology that is flexible? So you could actually build, you know, using that patent, you could actually build a battery into the watch strap. And that might actually give you, you know, a month's worth of use. You never know. You never know.
So you wind up, Don, slag off Apple, podcast.
Well, when the iPad came out, I mean, there'd been tablets galore previous to that that never sold it, never did what they were supposed to be doing. And then the iPad came out and Apple built that items that everybody wanted it. It'd be the same with the iWatch. Everybody seems to think it's a fashion accessory now. Loads of people don't have a watch on at the moment. But the moment you get a wearable computer that does something really cool and has the Apple logo on it or Apple name attached to it, people will buy it. And
they'll
buy
lots of
them.
It's got to do something really cool, Martin. You're absolutely right. Well, interacting with your phone so that you can answer calls is not it.
No, people are going to skip this. Apple are going to go straight to the eye goggles and it's going to be a massive success.
Have you ever smoked a cigar before, Will? He's greeny green.
It's a very nice cigar. I just took it down the wrong tube or something like that. I don't know quite how it works.
I thought you were going to throw up over Mrs. Don McAllister.
Name that tune.
No, I'd never.
There was
that.
Smoke and there was...
One thing I reckon the iWatch will definitely have will be some sort of Siri capability to the phone that's in your pocket, because I use Siri a lot with my little white headphones and it's so kind of limiting, but you know, just lifting your wrist to your face, to your mouth and talking to your phone, I think it's going to be a big winner. So I think amongst many other things, it will certainly be a Siri microphone effectively for your iPhone.
You just want to be Dick Tracy, don't
you? I was going to say, it's all got very Thunderbird suddenly.
Of the tech people here, put your hands up if you use, like you just said, Siri regularly. What's regularly mean?
Every day.
Every day. Ooh, put more your hands up if you use Siri every day.
Steve, you're very keen on this hands up thing, aren't you?
Well, it's interesting. I've never.
For the audio podcast. It's
but that was about 5%, 10%.
Sorry, make Google Voice for people who don't got Siri. Google Voice for people who don't got Siri.
Yeah. Google Voice. Actually, wait. Google Voice is faster at responding than Siri.
Yeah, it's better. Is that more accurate?
I've tried them side by side.
But the new Mavericks, Siri is going to be more localized, so it won't have to, for many things, talk to a server. So it will be a quicker. But at the moment, the Google Voice thing, because it doesn't have to talk to the server so much, it reacts faster and more accurate, caches better.
But will it understand regional accents?
Not a hope.
We should get a new Siri voice, and it should be Will.
That'd be good, wouldn't
you
it?
Should be the new voice of Siri for Britain.
Yeah.
So what's
what
that
would you like help with?
Look out the bloody window or whatever.
Anyway, listen.
When's my next
meeting at the office?
Well, you know, a funny thing.
Now then, Will, you did promise us a Spike Milligan impression at the bash, saying something that Spike Milligan definitely said.
Absolutely.
So please, round of applause for everyone. Will Green is going to do his Spike Milligan impression. Here we go.
I told you I was ill.
Uh-oh.
This is a bit harsh because I cannot tell jokes. I'm really bad at telling jokes. So here
really
we go.
Bad at Don McAllister impressions as well. Doesn't stop you.
Thing is, my Don McAllister impression and my Spike Milligan impression are very, very similar. Yeah.
And, a bit like Alec Guinness.
Yeah. Oh, no, man. Alec Guinness' impression is very different. Right. Right, let me get into the zone.
Here we go.
In character.
I went on a monorail today. I was lost in the airport. It's a true story.
Did the lot fall on the floor?
Yeah. We was lost in this podcast, I mean.
I'm trying to do it now. Right, ready? Right, let me begin with Spike Milligan. That's make a beginning.
That's
Spike Milligan.
That's good.
Oh, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Today, it is getting very dawn, isn't it? Today isn't the 105th anniversary of Chopin's death, so I thought we'd celebrate that. Is it going all right? So far?
That sounds like you.
So hold on, hang on a bit. So I thought I'd play one of Chopin's pieces, but he never plays one of mine, so I thought not.
Do it again, but do it as Don McAllister.
Daddy, you have to go now.
Oh dear, my big trouble. Right, okay, moving on from my rubbish. It was sounding really good. I practiced it this morning, and it could have been Spike Milligan in the bathroom.
And then the rock fell off, so.
Okay, sunshine. Right. Number 8. Irish MPs vote to let Apple off the tax hook. The chairman of the Irish Parliament's finance... Is there any bouncers around? Kick them out. Finance Committee has led to a vote which decided Apple will not face any questions over its tax practices in the country, according to The Guardian. The Irish Parliament originally agreed to conduct a tax inquiry into Apple's practices.
And coincidentally, the entire Irish Parliament just got MacBook Pros. Yes.
No.
This email was sent from my iPhone.
The Irish are absolutely terrified, actually, that perhaps Northern Ireland will cut their corporation tax to 10% or do something, because obviously the Irish do very well out of their low corporation tax rate. And I'm not surprised at all that they've actually decided, no, we don't fancy having a big row with Apple, because we do quite nice out of having Apple based in Dublin.
You think?
Yeah, just a bit.
Sent from my iPhone, to be sure.
And also, Ireland can't afford the lawyer's fees at the moment.
Yeah. So I'm... Oh, God, Greeny's choking again.
Will's on fire.
This green is on fire.
I was on fire once.
No, I like this bit, because normally when I do, I have to interject. But all I have to do now is read the news story, and then you lot get on with it. And
yeah, we're doing it.
How did you survive, Carl? Because the fire service can't fight fires over 7 floors.
No, the thing is with Apple, and I'm not going to rise to his bait over there. I mean, they are paying taxes in Ireland, aren't they? I mean, do they pay as much, or you know, how are Google doing with their taxes in and in the UK? No. Oh, okay.
Google and Apple and Starbucks and who's the other one? The third one. There's 3 ones.
Amazon.
Dell.
The 3 of them have been in the news, haven't they, in terms of taxes, in terms of Ireland, but Apple haven't. Says a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they got better PR people. No, but I mean, like I said, it just does not surprise me at all that the Irish one, actually, I don't really fancy this fight. We do quite nicely out of having Apple in there.
Okay. Let's get political. All right. We all know each other. This is, again, it's going to be a raising hand thing. We all criticise companies not doing tax and all the rest of it, but when you have builders round, do you pay them cash in hand or do you pay their tax as well? Who put your hand up if you pay their tax as well?
As in, you pay an invoice that they send you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm getting the vibe of the story, right?
All right, it's four people who are honest.
And also, in reverse, because I go out to people's houses and things, and people that you've never met before, or they come into the office to pick up a computer or things, and all they've done is turn up, and you don't know them from Adam, and they don't know me from Adam, and they'll say, oh, well, how much is that? And you say, oh, it's £150, and then they'll just go, how much for cash? And you go, a visual pun there, but you're just like, what are you on about? Why have you assumed that? You've mm-hmm. never met me before. Why do you think there's a price for cash? It's the same price because it goes into my bank account.
What about that work you did for that woman that time? How did she pay?
That was pleasure, not...
I'm trying to make those on a whole.
That was a contra... with contra arrangements, you do have to make an adjustment for tax, don't you?
The point I'm trying to make, on the whole, everyone tries to maximise the tax or reduce the tax that they pay. Everyone does. And that's what Apple and all of the and Google and all Starbucks are just trying to do as well legally, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
so
no, I don't.
We
I
can't moan about it because they're
just
doing it to the letter of the law, like we all are.
Because the fact that they're doing it legally because the loopholes are there in the law.
And why are the loopholes there in the law? Has anyone seen the brilliant John Stewart clip of when he went on about this, and he said basically. Because a lot of the, you know, Tim Cook, and he stood up in front of the Senate committee who done the same investigation as the Irish have done and said, you know what, if you want us to pay more tax, that's fine, just make the tax system simpler. And John Stewart, the American satirist, replied, well, that's fine, but why is the system so difficult? Because all these big companies have lobbied for strange, you know, massive tax loopholes that only their lawyers understand.
I've got a good idea.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to derail your own podcast now?
No, not at all. I thought we could, if you know any celebrities, we could quickly pass round anecdotes. So, Patrick Stewart.
Yes, Will.
Well, you know, give us an anecdote.
Patrick Stewart made me tomato soup with croutons for lunch once.
Did he make it so?
He did make it just so.
Did it come in a replicator?
It was a tin of Heinz cream of tomato soup.
So it wasn't a replicator.
What about this young lady that tried to pay you in kind, if you know what I mean?
Oh, you were listening earlier, were you? You give every impression of paying no attention whatsoever.
That's my magic, you see.
Sorry, distracted.
She just texted you, is she?
Yes.
Really, genuinely? Go on, read out the text. Read out the text. Dr. Harvey Mack, please read out the text.
No.
Why not?
It's my text.
Right, let's press it to the ground.
And of course she hasn't bloody texted me, you moron. It's not live.
But there was certainly a text there.
Yeah, I know. It's called humour.
Ah, but you took your phone away very quickly.
It's a good joke.
Fair enough. I feel you're a bit defensive, so I'll move on.
Oh, God.
Story number eight. How many stories is there? There's only one more to go, folks, so don't worry.
That's good, because we've been here for 3 days.
I know, yeah. Oh, hold
on. Do you feel like a lady?
No, we've already
done
story number eight. That was the Irish thing. Only one more. This is the last story.
Hey!
So enjoy it while it lasts. Apple no longer... the world's most respected company. What a load of rubbish. This is complete bollocks.
Surely Google are the world's most respected company, Will.
Well, I don't know. It depends from which sort of side of the fence you're
Which company do you prefer, Will? Google or Apple?
I think both. I think they're both lovely companies.
I had a Google once.
But if you had to, if both of them were women on the night, and you had to decide...
It'd be Apple.
I don't fancy yours.
I mean, which celebrity, which female movie star is Apple then, and which female movie star is Google? I mean, is Apple a
do you want me to read this story or not?
No.
No, we're all kind of done.
What is this? Apple eHarmony or something? Jesus.
Let's do a Steve Neighbour style show of hands. Who is in the slightest bit interested in Will's last news story?
Make the universal sign and wind it up, Will.
Okay, this is it then, I suppose. Thanks ever so much.
Like I said, one time only.
Yeah, well, I'll just do this last little bit. Apple has spent three last years at the top of Barron's annual ranking at the world's most respected company, but has toppled from its perch. So it's all bollocks, isn't it, really? Let's be honest.
Who replaced them?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
So I think that Apple
Warren
is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Warren Buffett's firm, you've never heard of.
And Google is Scarlett, what's her name, Johansson. Definitely.
Oh. I've got a story item. Did you see that the student card thing has been released for is it education discounts on Apple products, which comes to a close on? Paul? When does the Apple student card... student discounts come to a close? September the 6th. So therefore, keynote, September the 9th. Come into your London Mac User Group pub soon. That's where the keynote will be in early September.
Before we finish, we need to say huge thank yous all round. Betsy Smith is here from TechSmith. TechSmith have sponsored the Bash for the second year running. They make some fantastic software, Snagit and Camtasia 2, which is a screen capture software. It is so powerful. Excellent stuff. Very flexible, very user-friendly. And they've supported us now for a couple of years. We do Gazmaz's tips using TechSmith's Camtasia 2. Round of applause for Betsy, because tonight would not have happened without her. Perennially, the other one is UK2, because they pick up all the bandwidth. If you're not a UK2 customer, you're mad. You should be. Please use it. And make sure you use the codes from the British Tech website, otherwise we don't get credit. And you can save yourself an absolute fortune. And also, use Screencast Online from Don, because Don has been a very big supporter. He gives of his time free of charge on the shows. No one gets paid for coming on BTN. And also, he gave us a Mac Pro to run all the shows with last year, which has done the last year's worth of hard work and brilliantly done. So please use Screencast Online. Round of applause for Don.
And I can, woo! And I can say with Screencast Online that a lot of my customers are the less well-schooled Mac users and iPod users. And every time when they're confused about where's the home screen, what does this do, I just say, look, forget it. Just go here, press this, download Screencast for Mac, Screencast for iPad, watch it, and I never have to hear from them again.
One free show a month, isn't it, Don, as well? One free show a month?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah, it's a weekly video tutorial, but there are apps on the App Store, and also there's a free show every... It's about every 5 weeks now, but... yeah.
And it's iOS as well as Mac? It's not
iOS. Yeah, there's an iOS show and a Mac show every week.
Excellent stuff. Thanks, mate.
Oh, and the magazine. Thank you very much.
And the magazine, of course.
The weekly, monthly iPad magazine as well, with the previous months, the entire sort of all my output from previous months in that magazine as well.
Excellent. Thanks to all the panellists who've come on this year. I won't listen because I listed them in the big show. Please have a download of the big show and have a listen to the long list, because it was huge. But we've got the gamer show coming up. There's teams. I'm doing the Xbox team and the PS4 team. So anyone that's into Xbox and PS4, I need your help. It's all together, apparently. You're doing three what?
He's the Mac and PC gaming.
Mac and PC. Carl is doing retro gaming and casual users. Game. Yeah. Is that it? Three? Just the three teams?
Just three teams.
We'll have a wee break, and then we've got to get all the IT has got to go into the room, because we need to show pictures, and there's buzzers apparently, which should be really fun. Thank you for coming. The Mac Show at the Bash.
Yay! Woo!